Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Psalm 139:13-18. "For you formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret, and intricately and skillfully formed, as if embroidered with many colors in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were appointed for me, when as yet there was not one of them even taking shape. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you."
You may be seated. Let's pray. God, I pray for your words. Help us hear what we need to hear. And Lord, I just pray we would marvel at you. Help us not miss you and who you are when we look at your creation, and when we even look at us. In the name of Jesus, amen. So part of my scripture readings that I do, I usually go through Genesis twice a year, just how it flows. And I love Genesis, especially 1 through 3, the creation. Do you ever notice it starts with the world being formless? It starts with the earth. It doesn't start with the universe. The universe is created later. I don't know how that works. Because the star and the moons, the moon and the sun, and then the stars, and then he starts with everything else. There's a significance here. And like in the scripture reading, only humans were created in the image of God. Only humans, God breathed into them his spirit. And yet, how often we look at ourselves and go, there's something wrong with me. I'm different than everyone else. I'm screwed up. Well, in some ways, yes, we're broken. But we're not different. I know for part of my life, I believed there was something wrong with me. I could never figure it out. When I had my accident, I would go, oh, there it is. But that belief didn't stop. There somehow I was different than everyone else in a bad way. And it affected me. Instead of failing to see, God doesn't look at me that way. And when we look at his creation, it all points to Jesus. That was the pinnacle of his plan, to show us how much he loves us. It wasn't by accident. He wasn't going when Adam and Eve sin, he wasn't going, what do I do now? It was not a reaction. He already foreknew. It was part of his plan. Did he make them? No. But he foreknew. And when we look at our lives, do we look for God in every moment? Or do we go, where are you? Do we believe there's a purpose? Or do we question him and go, I don't understand. Yeah, we don't understand. There's much in our life we don't understand. But can we, by faith, believe He works it for good? And He isn't going, "Oh, I didn't see that coming. Boy, that was a stupid decision. Now what do I do?" He knows our stupid decisions. He knows our sin before it happens. And yet, amazingly, He's still in control and He works it for good. Okay, that's far beyond me. And when we look at creation, especially this time of the year, it's like, wow, do you not see God? But in my own stupidity, I'm racing, and I don't stop and go, wow, that flower is beautiful. Or those birds singing this morning are beautiful. Why do they sing? Why is there such beauty in creation? This last week, I went for a bike ride, headed north, and I got to a place where there was two sandhill cranes in the middle of the bike trail, and they weren't going to move. And they're not small. And I thought, what happens if they're angry? But I've never gotten so close. I probably got within 10 feet. Usually they're very timid. Man, are they beautiful. Why are they beautiful? If we believe in evolution, beauty serves no purpose. Then why is there such beauty in all of creation? Why is there beauty in a mountain of rocks? And yet, you can see God's fingerprint. Is this by chance? If we believe in evolution or even theistic evolution, it's by chance. I mean, God got it started. But I struggle with it because there's so many problems if you believe it that way. Number one, there's no purpose. And okay, we'll believe in theistic evolution, let's say. Here's the problem. Then you have to believe death existed before Adam and Eve. And I have a real hard time when God and Adam are sitting in the garden and the lion comes and kills the lamb and God says, that's very good. It goes against Scripture and it goes against the heart of God. But if we believe that, then you're just by chance. And there's no plan for our lives. God just kind of interjects. It's more of a deism belief that God got things started and kind of pulls away. Is that Scripture? Is He not involved through all of Scripture? So involved, He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die for us? To show us how much He loved us, that He saves us and He keeps us? This is part of His plan to show us who He is. And I've kind of wondered through the years, what if that wasn't part of God's plan? And we lived in the Garden of Eden all our lives. Would we know His love like His love is demonstrated through Jesus dying on the cross for our sins? I think we'd have a very different perspective. I know that Jesus' coming was God's perfect plan and perfect design. So, therefore, He foreknew the fall of man. And it was part of His plan. Again, He doesn't will it. He doesn't will our sin. He opposes our sin. Because sin brings death. It brings separation between me and Him. But yet He's bigger than our sin. Some of you get struggled with, how can God forgive me? Look at what I did. Truthfully, those thoughts happen every day for me. I don't know about for you. And there's a point that I have to remind myself, I'm forgiven by His grace through what Jesus did on the cross. Satan is the one who wants me to reminisce and beat myself up and go, how can God love me? Well, look at the fruit of that. Versus if I focus on Jesus and what he did, I'm forgiven because he loves me. Because it's who he is. There's nothing special about me. Yet, it says his thoughts for me are more than anyone can count. Do we believe that? Do we believe that he has a plan for each of us that is perfect and glorious in the midst of our fallen state? In the midst of our struggle with temptation and sin, his plan is still there. Oh, better yet, in the midst of our weakness. How many of you would like to change something about yourself? Oh, multiple things? Yeah. But we have, when you look at those faults, ever thought God might be using them? Because they do feel like a curse. Often. But here's the thing. Do my struggles drive me to Jesus or away? We're all fallen. We're all weak. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we're striving to get back to the Garden of Eden where we're perfect. That ain't happening, people. When we get to heaven, we'll talk about perfection. But my weakness drives me to go, Jesus, help me, because I cannot do this on my own. How can I call that a curse? As much as I want to get rid of it. As much as there's days where, God, can I divorce myself? Or, God, take me home. Can I trust in my weakness he is using it for good? And he has a plan. And there's some things, I don't know about for you, I've struggled with all my life. And it's like, there's days I feel like I'm going backwards instead of forwards. And there's a point like, okay, God, you say you sanctify me. This is not going well. But can I trust again? Those things you're struggling with, does it drive you to Jesus? Or does it make you angry that he doesn't do anything? Or do you just oblivious to them? Or have you fallen into that issue of pride? There's nothing wrong with me. I got this, God. None of us got it. And anything good and right about us is simply because of Jesus. Can we accept that? Because as that is that point, we know how much we need him. When I got it and I think I'm a good person, be careful. If my goodness is coming purely because of Jesus, okay. But it says, the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all. And I got to say, there are some unbelievers that it's like, man, I wish I could be like them. How graceful they are, how caring they are, how someone can be rude to them and it falls right off their back, where me, it's like, rawr. And yet, without Jesus, they're going to go to hell. In this perfect design, it's only perfect because of Jesus. And it's only perfect when we love him and he's our Savior and he's our Lord and we follow him. And for those who reject him, they deny who he is. In Romans 1:18-23, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth through unrighteousness, For what may be known about God is clear to them since God has shown it to them. The invisible things about him, his eternal power and deity, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world and understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. Because they also knew God, they did not glorify him or give thanks to him as God, but became futile in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts are darkened. They claimed to be wise, they became fools. They changed their glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beast, and creepy things. Do you understand? They're without excuse, because when you look at creation, you can't deny him. I love how scientists excuse it. Just looking at our DNA, 3,200,000,000 lines of code happen by random, by chance. And that's growing because we learn more about our DNA and there's more information. And yet, we believe in this random chance of a single cell amoeba just evolving on its own, denying that so many things have to happen at the same time for it to exist and live. But it's our way of denying that God sits on the throne and he is creator, because we don't want to follow him. I see that play out in me when life doesn't go the way I want. And it's like, God, what are you doing? Instead of going, God, you got a plan, and your plan is perfect, and I don't understand it, but help me to trust you right now and not get upset. Because I know you love me, and your plans are perfect for me. Because it's drawing me to you. Versus getting angry. Because I want what I want. I don't know about for you, but there's a battle there. Can we trust that God is the master builder? With infinite wisdom and infinite power and infinite knowledge, he goes before us and he is with us. Wow. And I have the gall to be afraid and doubt him. I don't know about for you, but how often I wrestle with that. And how often I judge people that I'm better. Do you realize for humans, genetically, we're 99.9% exactly the same? We're 0.1% different. And yet I have the gall, or we have the gall to go, well, at least I'm not like them. Where's the logic in it? But I think there's that danger because our flesh is prideful. And there's a pride in terms of I'm better than, and there's a pride in self-hate. Because there's a pride in self-hate because I know better than God. I'm faulty. Yeah, you are faulty. We all are faulty. We're all fallen. But I'm we deny the worth that God has for us when he looks at us. He doesn't look at us and go, oh, there's Larry. He's looking at Larry and going, there's my son, who I love. Yeah, I know he's not perfect. But I love him. I love him enough to save him. I love him enough to keep him. Because I want him to spend eternity with me. Then how can you hate yourself? And yet, we do. and we miss that perfect design. How much God loves us. Again, that his thoughts cannot be counted for each of us. And some of us can count pretty high. Harvey can count really high. A numbers guy. And Harvey can't count that high. And do we each day see the fingerprints of God in our lives? Do we see how he intervenes? Are we thankful each day for him? Those nights that we don't sleep well, are we thankful for the sleep we did get? Are we thankful for the health we do have? Or do we look at what we don't have? There's mornings where I wake up and I spend most of the day wondering who I am. And I don't like it. But I have a choice. Can I trust him? And can I thank him for what has been given? Trusting, okay, this is part of his plan. Because in those days, I have to cling all the more. Because in those days that I don't get good sleep, that I got 2 hours of sleep, I'm grumpy. And here's the thing. I can look at it and go, God, why? Or I can look at it and go, ooh. It reveals things in my heart that I can control when I get enough sleep. But when I have the lack of sleep, they come up and they're a lot harder to control, like being angry and being critical. Okay. I can thank God to go, ooh, that's in my heart that I don't notice when I'm doing well. To go, God, please continue to change me. I need you. This is deep in my heart. And this is not of you. So please come and change it. I don't see that as a curse. But if it is about me, I'm going to consider it a curse. But if it's wanting to glorify God in my life, can I trust every moment he's working it for good? Can I trust when you're driving down the road and that deer's along, all of a sudden there's that deer on the shoulder and it's kind of like, what way am I going to go? It goes back in the ditch. Or how many times it's went across the road and I don't know how I missed it. Can I give God praise versus being angry that deer was there? Can I miss that moment that he goes before me and that he is with me? Always. There's things that happen like the floods in Florida that I have no answer for. But I gotta say, it's gonna challenge your faith in a good way or a bad way. And I have to believe for those who love him, he's gonna work it for good. And for those who do not know him, they're gonna wrestle. Because when we're faced with losing everything or losing loved ones, it's gonna challenge you spiritually. And for us as a people, we need to be praying for them, that God would work it for good for everyone, that we would see revival down there. Because I don't know, if I lost everything today, would I continue to trust that he loves me? I think of Job, though he save me, I will serve him, I will follow him. Because Job knew who he was. He did have a crisis of faith thereafter. But I love how when God came and revealed himself, it's like Job's like, I am a fool. What do I say? Because I made God small. And that's our tendency. Then when it doesn't go our way, we make him small. and we serve a God is infinitely perfect in every way. Do we trust that? Do we trust when you read about what's happening to Christians around the world, where they're being massacred, where their homes are being burned down, where they're living in the jungle trying to survive, and you're going, God, how is that love? Can we trust he didn't change? Can we trust the parent who lost their daughter in the flood, that his love, who he is, didn't change, that he still is with them and he goes before them and he has a perfect plan? When I was 12, I lost a cousin to a freak accident, and it was devastating. And I remember my dad wrestling, I think, for about 3 to 6 months, where he was just, why God, why God? And God came to my dad in a dream. A lot of times that's how my God would talk to my dad. And he said in the dream, he asked God, why did you let Mark die? And God said, because I knew what was before him, and all my love, I took him. From there on, my dad didn't wrestle. But isn't that true for all of us, that God foreknew? And can we trust that everything God does is out of love? Yeah, it doesn't feel loving. But God didn't change. God's immutable. His character doesn't change. And when you look at Jesus, God knows what it is to lose a loved one, so to speak. Yeah, it was because of his very love that Jesus came and died for us. Can we trust that? Can you trust that he has a perfect plan for you in the midst of your sin, in the midst of your brokenness, that doesn't change? And God is bigger than your sin. I've never had a perfect day. I don't believe I will until I go to heaven, because I know my thoughts and I know my heart, and I see Jesus changing me and sanctifying me by the power of the Holy Spirit. But that will continue until the day I die. And those things that you look and go, they're wrong with you, can you bring them to Jesus? Please change me. But also the trust that as you go before him, he has a plan. And they remind you, you need him. You need him right now. And you're going to need him tomorrow. And be careful when things are going the way you want, because it's easy to fall into complacency. And I got this. And God, you can stay over there for now, because I don't need you right now. But when I do, I'll call upon you. Versus the truth is, we need him every moment. Every moment. Because without him, I know where it leads. And it's definitely not the right path. That path leads to death. And when I also want to look at my life, how many times I went down that path? And then God intervenes and steers me in the right direction with something that's like, I didn't like this, God. But he puts me back on the right path of following him. What a God we serve. From the very beginning, I can look and he's guiding and directing my life to him. Truly, he saved me. Truly, he keeps me, just like you. Because his plan is good, it's perfect. Despite us not being good and perfect. And we got to remember he's sovereign. He's never out of control going, oh, what do I do now? And there's that mystery of his sovereignty and our personal responsibility. Figure that one out. I tremble at my personal responsibility and I find rest in his sovereignty. And yet they seem to conflict. But am I going to choose the path of follow him and cling to him? Or am I going to cling to myself or someone else? Am I going to trust that he's working all things for good? Am I going to trust his plan, though even I don't understand it? I think of Sam and Sally in their basement flooding the whole time. And it's like, God, what are you doing? But their patience is being tested. And they will have a story to tell when it's all done. And going back to our weakness, because I would say none of us like weakness. I think Paul addresses this in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. Well, so right before this, he talks about being in the third heaven. So he's with God. And he talks about things that are uttered to him that he could not share. And he was becoming a little bit prideful. So starting with verse 7, because of unsurpassing greatness and extraordinary nature of the revelations which I received from God, for this reason, to keep me from thinking of myself as important, a thorn of the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to torment and harass me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is always completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weakness so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and dwell in me. So I am well pleased with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength. I pray that we can walk in that. And that God in all things has a plan, because he does. And in all things, God is sovereign. And we focus on that, and we focus on Jesus versus ourselves. And again, trust that even though we understand, this is a perfect plan. And we won't see that perfect plan until we're in heaven. And I believe at that point, it talks about the 24 elders, but I hope it's all of us, that we take our crowns and we throw it across the glassy sea. Because it's he deserves it. It wasn't us like, look at me, I earned this crown. No, it's only by his grace that we earn our crowns. that we can give him glory. And we can marvel throughout eternity to go, look what he did. What a perfect plan. And I think it's only in heaven where we truly understand Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want to understand that in a much deeper way. Because it means when we look at Jesus, we see God. Amen.